Remember Boko Haram? The militant Islamic group drew the world's ire when it kidnapped 200 girls in Nigeria in April. But then attention shifted elsewhere. Now, news that the group has kidnapped at least 91 more boys, women, girls, even toddlers, after weekend attacks in Nigeria that also killed four. Will that bring back the hashtag, bring back our girls? Or, as Nigerian-American novelist Teju Cole wrote, is that passion gone? He tweeted, "It's emotional involvement having paid no dividends. The world has moved on. Sorry." And the story, far from over, has become invisible. Or another question, was that passion and the hashtag that propelled it misguided in the first place? Max Fisher is foreign editor of Vox.com and joins us on the line from Philadelphia. Hi, Max.
Hi, Robin.
And there seems to be a vicious cycle here. You also quote Teju Cole in your writing. He called this the simple wrong. The abduction of the girls was seen as a simple wrong that could be simply corrected, and when it wasn't, people turned away. But were the girls not rescued because people stopped caring? Or because it's more complicated than people thought?
Yeah, I mean, the hard truth is that a, you know, Western hashtag campaign, Americans really caring about it, you know, Americans wanting to read about it and wanting to share stories on their Facebook page asking to bring back the girls, that was never going to bring them back. It could actually, it does make a difference when the world knows about what's happening, and it can make a difference to bring pressure on the people on whom there needs to be broad pressure. So there is a place for Western awareness, you know, Western concern campaigns. But the thing is that people discovered pretty quickly into this story that the thing that had brought their emotional engagement was this sense of something terrible having happened, right? There was a victim, there was a villain, Boko Haram, this northern Nigerian terrorist group, there was a bad guy. People were certainly hoping there was a good guy. But what everyone found out very quickly was that this story is just much more complicated and has so many more shades of gray, shades of moral gray, than they had hoped, that there's just not a good outlet for emotional involvement there. This was not, you know, a Joseph Kony 2012 campaign where you bring pressure to the United States government and then the U.S. does the thing it needs to do to solve it, because the U.S. can't solve this. This is something... The roots of this conflict go so deep, and the causes of this are so many and varied, and some of them are quite uncomfortable, that it would take, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 years of sustained involvement to fix it. And, you know, people are busy. Yeah. People can care, but they can't care enough to engage that deeply in something like this.
Well, you write a great column. We'll link everyone to your 9 questions about Nigeria you were too embarrassed to ask. You take us through the post-colonial history, which is very recent. It's 1960. The country won independence, but with jerry-rigged borders, a rotating presidency that alternates between the North and the South, Christians and Muslims, just crazy. Oil, which corrupts absolutely. But just in a nutshell, why else can't these girls be rescued?
Well, you know, I mean, they're proximate causes, right? They can't be rescued because the northern part of Nigeria, where they are presumably being held, or maybe they've been moved into neighboring Niger, the governance there is very poor. It's very tough to reach these groups. The Nigerian military is terribly incompetent and corrupt. But even if you could magically fix all of those problems, which, you know, you can't, but even if you could, you know, it's like you were saying, this is a story that did not begin in, you know, 2.5 months ago when the girls were kidnapped. This is a story that begins in 1960 when Nigeria got its independence and was handed a huge raft of problems from the British and from some of its own corrupt leaders that it hasn't solved. So, I mean, they're... Kidnappings are continuing.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend, there were 90 more people kidnapped. So even if we could magically go in and rescue these girls, we're not going to fix the much deeper, much more complicated issues that have led to this one and are going to lead to the next kidnapping and the kidnapping after that.
Yeah. Teju Cole and Binyavanga Wainana, other writers, well, Teju in particular calls this the white savior industrial complex. Teju says the world exists simply to satisfy the needs, including the sentimental needs of white people and Oprah. Ouch. You know, this idea that, you know, if we can simply save somebody, then that makes you feel good. And he writes, if Americans really want to care about Africa, maybe they should consider evaluating American foreign policy because Nigeria is one of the top five oil suppliers to the U.S. I mean, does he have a point that there are ongoing protests in Nigeria? Nigerians very capable of protesting against their government, but we don't report on that.
Well, you know, I mean, this is the argument that Americans are only engaged to the extent that it makes them feel good about themselves to be engaged. I'm a little less cynical than Teju is. I really do think from talking to people in Western countries and in the U.S. that they do care, that they do want to help. There were, as you said, in 2012, there were big anti-government protests in Nigeria against public corruption, which is a part of the problem that links back to Boko Haram's kidnapping of these girls, because governance is so poor in the north, partly because the oil has corrupted the government so badly. But, you know, Westerners were emotionally engaged in that. Westerners were also tweeting in support of the Nigerian protesters in 2012, and I think that may have actually made a difference. I think that there was a real possibility for this campaign to make a difference if it had brought sufficient pressure against the Nigerian government that they would have said, okay, we're going to start actually making an effort to serve northern Nigerians, to serve Muslim Nigerians as equal citizens, and we're going to try to fix some of the corruption in our government. I mean, that would have gone a long way. And that's something where if Americans bring enough pressure and attention, they can make a difference. And I think that people here care. I think that they're not sophisticated in their caring. That's part of the problem. I mean, not everyone can get a PhD in post-colonial West African history, you know, every time they decide to care about kidnapped girls in Nigeria. That's just how the world works. But it is true that their caring, as profound and real as it is to the many Americans who do care, it's very simple, and that simplicity looks for a hero and a villain, and it looks for an easy solution, and it looks for a quick solution, and the truth is that none of those things exist.
But Max, we just got a few seconds. It sounds like you're saying that whether or not the girls are found immediately, the hashtag maybe should continue, or, you know, it's being held up in some signs at the World Cup, but that pressure on a country's leadership to straighten out some of the problems in the country might work. Briefly, we just have a few seconds. Is that what you're saying?
It could if it had not already dissipated, which unfortunately it mostly has.
Max Fitcher, foreign editor at Vox.com. We'll link you to all of his writing at hereandnow.org. Terrific reading. Max, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Here and Now.